Welcome to the deep dive. We're diving into the world of plastic injection molding today.
Yeah.
You've been doing some research on this, and it seems like you want to go beyond the basics.
Absolutely.
We've got this great article, What Makes Plastic Injection Molding the Best Option for Manufacturing?
Right.
And by the end of this deep dive, you'll be able to explain how this process works, but also why it matters, like in the bigger scheme of things.
It's fascinating, and we're going to explore all the angles, the advantages, the drawbacks, and even how this method is playing a surprising role in sustainable manufacturing.
Okay, so let's start with the fundamentals. When you hear the words plastic injection molding, what comes to mind?
I think most people probably picture, you know, molten plastic being injected into a mold.
Right.
And that's really the essence of the process. You heat plastic pellets until they become liquid.
Yeah.
Inject them under high pressure into a carefully designed mold. And once the plastic cools and hardens you eject the finished part.
It's like a high-tech version of those plastic molds you might have used as a kid to make chocolate shapes.
Exactly.
Except, of course, we're talking about creating intricate components for everything from cars to medical devices. Mm-hmm. Our source highlights that this method is a powerhouse for high-volume production.
Mm-hmm.
And with good reason, it's known for its speed, cost-effectiveness, and the ability to produce consistently high-quality parts with incredible precision.
Yeah, think about a complex shape, like a car's dashboard. It's not just one piece. It's an assembly of many intricate components all fitting together perfectly.
Right.
Injection molding allows manufacturers to achieve this level of detail and repeatability thousands of times over.
It's mind-blowing how those simple plastic pellets are transformed into these essential parts of our everyday lives.
It is.
But the advantages go beyond just efficiency and precision, right?
Absolutely. One of the key benefits is the wide range of materials you can use.
Okay.
From tough and rigid plastics to flexible and even transparent ones, the possibilities are vast.
Mm.
This versatility makes it ideal for a huge array of products.
So it's not just a one-size-fits-all approach. There's a whole world of specialized plastics tailored for specific applications.
Right.
The source also mentions surface finish options. Can you elaborate on that?
Of course, with injection molding, you can achieve a variety of surface finishes from smooth and glossy to textured or matte.
Okay.
This level of control is important for both aesthetics and functionality.
Right.
Think about the grip on a toothbrush or the non-reflective surface of a car dashboard.
Yeah.
These are all achievable through injection molding.
And that brings us to another crucial aspect,
mm-hmm.
high tolerances. What exactly does that mean in the context of injection molding?
Tolerance refers to the allowable deviation from the intended dimensions of a part.
Mm-hmm.
In injection molding, you can achieve very tight tolerances,
right.
meaning the parts are extremely precise and consistent.
Yeah.
This is essential for components that need to fit together seamlessly or function within specific parameters.
So we're talking about a level of precision that's practically microscopic.
Pretty much.
It's clear that injection molding has a lot going for it, but our source also acknowledges that it's not without its drawbacks.
Right.
No manufacturing method is perfect, right?
Of course not.
What are some of the challenges?
Well, one major drawback is the high initial investment required for tooling.
Okay.
Creating those specialized molds can be expensive, potentially costing thousands of dollars, especially for complex parts.
So it's a significant upfront cost that might not be feasible for everyone.
Right.
Especially smaller businesses or startups with limited budgets.
Yeah.
Are there any other factors that might make injection molding less appealing in certain situations?
Lead time is another consideration.
Okay.
Developing those intricate molds takes time,
mm.
leading to longer lead times for production.
Yeah.
You're looking at multiple design iterations, testing phases, and potential adjustments before the mold is finalized and ready for production.
So if you need something manufactured quickly, injection molding might not be the best option. It's a bit of a long game, but ultimately worth it for mass production, where those upfront costs are spread out over a large number of units.
Precisely.
And while injection molding excels at complex shapes, there are some design limitations.
Mm-hmm.
For example, features like undercuts, where part of the design dips inward,
yeah.
can pose challenges.
Right.
Imagine trying to remove a molded part from a mold with an inward curve. It would get stuck.
Exactly.
These undercuts often require more complex and expensive mold designs.
They do.
So designers need to think strategically and sometimes compromise on certain design elements to ensure the part can be molded effectively and efficiently.
Exactly. There's a balance between design complexity and manufacturability.
Right.
It's about finding that sweet spot where you achieve the desired functionality and aesthetics while staying within the realm of what's possible with injection molding.
We've been focusing on injection molding in a bit of a vacuum, but you mentioned earlier that there are other manufacturing methods out there. The article specifically mentions 3D printing as a comparison point, almost like a battle of the titans. How do these two methods stack up against each other?
It's a common comparison because both technologies are powerful tools in the manufacturing world.
Mm-hmm.
However, they each have their strengths and are better suited for different applications.
Okay.
Think of it this way. Injection molding is like the marathon runner, excelling in high volume production with intricate designs, while 3D printing is more like a sprinter, perfect for prototyping and customization with its flexibility and lower initial costs.
Okay, so if you need to create a single prototype of a new gadget, 3D printing made that happen quickly and affordably.
Right.
But if you're looking to mass produce thousands of identical car parts with complex geometries and tight tolerances, injection molding takes the lead.
Exactly. They both have their place in the manufacturing ecosystem.
Yeah.
And it's about choosing the right tool for the job.
And that brings us to another crucial aspect of injection molding that often sparks debate, its environmental impact. Mm-hmm. We're all aware of the plastic pollution crisis facing our planet.
Yeah.
Where does injection molding fit into this complex issue?
That's a critical question, and it's one that we'll explore in more detail in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
While the association with plastic might initially raise concerns, it's important to note that injection molding can play a surprising role in sustainable manufacturing.
Okay. I'm intrigued. How can a method that relies on plastic contribute to a more sustainable future?
It's about more than just the material itself. It's about the efficiency and precision of the process, the potential for using recycled materials, and the integration of eco-friendly alternatives. But we'll delve into all of that after a quick break.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back to unpack the surprising sustainability of plastic injection molding and explore the groundbreaking innovations shaping its future.
We will.
Welcome back. We left off talking about how plastic injection molding, a method so reliant on plastic, can actually contribute to a more sustainable future.
Right.
It seems counterintuitive.
It might seem that way at first, but there's more to the story. One key aspect is the inherent efficiency of injection mold. The process itself minimizes waste.
Yeah.
Remember, you're precisely injecting molten plastic into a mold using only the material needed to create the part.
Okay.
This contrasts with methods like machining, where you start with a block of material and cut away excess, generating more waste.
That makes sense. Less waste is always a good thing, especially when we're talking about plastic. But what about the plastic itself?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we stuck with traditional petroleum-based plastics, or are there more sustainable options available?
That's where things get really interesting. The industry is actively exploring and integrating eco-friendly alternatives.
Okay.
One promising avenue is bioplastics. These are plastics derived from renewable biomass sources like plants rather than fossil fuels.
So instead of relying on finite resources like oil, we're looking to nature to provide the building blocks for our plastics. That's incredible.
It is.
But how do these bioplastics perform compared to traditional plastics? Are they just as durable and versatile?
That's a key consideration, and the answer depends on the specific type of bioplastic.
Okay.
Some bioplastics are designed to be biodegradable, meaning they can break down naturally in the environment under the right conditions.
Right.
Others are designed to be durable and long-lasting, similar to traditional plastics, but with the added benefit of being sourced from renewable materials.
So there's a whole spectrum of bioplastics with varying properties, each suited for different applications.
Exactly.
It's not just a one-size-fits-all solution. The source mentions the automotive industry as a prime example of this shift towards bioplastics.
Yeah.
How are they being used in cars?
Car manufacturers are increasingly using bioplastics to create lighter components, which not only reduces the vehicle's overall weight, but also improves fuel efficiency and reduces emissions.
Okay.
You'll find bioplastics in interior parts trim and even some structural components.
It's fascinating how sustainability is driving innovation across different industries. It's no longer just a niche concern. It's a core principle influencing material science and manufacturing processes. But what about recycling?
Mm-hmm.
Can traditional plastics be recycled and used in injection molding?
Absolutely. Integrating recycled plastics into the process is a key aspect of sustainable injection molding. This reduces the demand for virgin plastics and gives those materials a second life, diverting them from landfills and reducing the environmental impact.
It's like closing the loop on the plastic life cycle.
Yeah.
We're taking something that might have been discarded and turning it into a valuable resource.
Yeah.
But isn't there a limit to how many times plastic can be recycled? Does the quality degrade over time?
That's a common concern. While some plastics can be recycled multiple times without significant degradation, others might lose some of their properties with each recycling cycle.
Right.
This is where design for recyclability comes into play.
Okay.
If products are designed with end of life in mind,
yeah,
it becomes easier to separate different types of plastics and recycle them effectively.
So it's not just about using recycled materials.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about designing products that can be easily disassembled and recycled. It's a holistic approach that considers the entire life cycle of a product. But even with these advancements in sustainable materials and recycling, there's still the challenge of optimizing the injection molding process itself to minimize its environmental footprint. What are some of the innovations happening in that area?
The industry is making strides in energy efficiency. Modern injection molding machines are designed to minimize energy consumption through features like optimized heating and cooling systems, as well as more efficient hydraulic and electric drive systems.
So it's not just about what goes into the machine, but also about how the machine itself operates. Every bit of energy saved counts. What other technological advancements are shaping the future of injection molding?
One of the most exciting developments is the integration of advanced automation and robotics.
Okay.
Imagine a production line where robots handle tasks like loading and unloading molds, removing finished parts, and even inspecting for quality control.
It's like having a team of tireless workers who never miss a beat, ensuring precision and consistency throughout the process. But doesn't that raise concerns about human jobs being replaced by robots?
It's a valid concern, but the goal of automation in this context is not to replace human workers, but to enhance their capabilities and optimize the overall process. Think of it as collaborative robotics, where humans and robots work together in a harmonious and efficient way.
Yeah.
Robots handle the repetitive or physically demanding tasks, freeing up human operators to focus on more specialized roles that require creativity, problem solving, and critical thinking.
It's about finding that synergy between human ingenuity and robotic efficiency. And it's not just about robots on the factory floor.
Right.
The source also mentions the integration of smart manufacturing with the Internet of Things. What does that look like in the world of injection molding?
The Internet of Things, or IoT, is transforming manufacturing by connecting machines and devices to the Internet, allowing them to collect and share data in real time. In injection molding, this means machines can communicate with each other and with human operators, creating a more intelligent and responsive production environment.
So imagine a world where the injection molding machines are constantly talking to each other, sharing information about their performance,
mm-hmm.
any potential issues, and even predicting maintenance needs. That's incredible. What are the benefits of this interconnectedness?
This data-driven approach allows manufacturers to optimize their operations, prevent downtime, and ensure that everything is running smoothly. It's like having a constant pulse on the health of the entire production line, for example. Imagine a sensor on an injection molding machine detecting a slight variation in temperature or pressure.
Okay.
This data could be instantly relayed to the system, which could then automatically adjust the process parameters to maintain optimal conditions.
It's like the machines are becoming self-aware in a good way. They're helping us make the process more efficient, consistent, and less prone to errors. And the source specifically mentions predictive maintenance. How does that work?
Predictive maintenance is all about using data to anticipate potential problems before they even occur, instead of waiting for a machine to break down. You can identify patterns and predict when maintenance is needed, minimizing costly downtime and disruptions to the production process.
It's like having a crystal ball for your factory, allowing you to see into the future and address potential issues before they become major problems. It's incredible how technology is transforming injection molding into a more intelligent and responsive process. But with all this talk about robots, data, and interconnected machines, it's easy to get caught up in the technical aspects. Let's not forget about the design phase. How are engineers keeping up with all these advancements and ensuring that products are designed for both functionality and sustainability?
That's where enhanced simulation software comes into play.
Okay.
These software tools allow engineers to create virtual models and test out their designs in a simulated environment, identifying potential issues early on, fine-tuning their designs, and reducing the need for costly and time-consuming physical prototypes.
It's like having a virtual testing ground for ideas, where you can experiment and iterate on designs before committing to the actual manufacturing process. This not only saves time and money, but also helps to minimize waste by identifying potential problems early on. But are these simulations limited to just the technical aspects of the design, or can they also factor in sustainability considerations?
That's the beauty of these advanced simulation tools. They can incorporate a wide range of factors, including material properties, energy consumption, and even end-of-life considerations like recyclability. Engineers can use these simulations to optimize their designs for both performance and sustainability, creating products that are both functional and environmentally responsible.
It's like having a virtual laboratory where you can explore different scenarios and test out various approaches to achieve the optimal balance between design functionality and sustainability. We've covered a lot of ground in this part of our deep dive, exploring the surprising sustainability of plastic injection molding and the innovative technologies shaping its future, but we're not done yet. There's one more crucial aspect that we need to address, the concept of a circular economy for plastics and the role injection molding plays in this evolving landscape. We'll dive into all of that in the final part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned for a thought-provoking discussion on the challenges and opportunities of creating a truly circular economy for plastics, where waste is minimized, resources are reused, and products are designed for longevity and recyclability.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been talking all about plastic injection molding, and we've journeyed through the intricacies of the process, from its fundamental, how it actually works, to its high-tech advancements and its surprising sustainability efforts.
Yeah.
But there's one more crucial piece of the puzzle, I think, to explore. And that is the concept of a circular economy for plastics.
Yeah.
It's a term that we hear a lot these days. But what does it actually mean in the context of injection molding?
It's about moving away from the traditional linear model of take, make, dispose.
Yeah.
And embracing a more cyclical approach where materials are continuously reused and repurposed.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of plastic products ending up in landfills or polluting our environment,
right.
We envision a system where they're designed for longevity, recyclability, and ultimately reintegration back into the production cycle.
So it's about closing the loop, creating a closed loop system where plastic is seen as a valuable resource rather than just waste.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty ambitious goal.
It is.
How does injection molding fit into this circular economy vision?
Well, injection molding has a significant role to play, both in terms of the challenges it presents and the opportunities it offers.
Okay.
On the one hand, the sheer volume of plastic products produced through injection molding is a factor contributing to the plastic waste problem. But on the other hand, the precision and efficiency of the process, combined with the advancements in sustainable materials and recycling technologies,
right,
make it well-suited for a circular economy model.
It's like injection molding is at a crossroads with the potential to either perpetuate the problem or become a key driver of the solution. So how do we nudge it in the right direction? What are the key strategies for making injection molding more circular?
It starts with design products need to be designed for disassembly and recyclability, making it easier to separate different materials and components at the end of their life.
Okay.
Imagine a product where all the different types of plastics are easily identifiable and separable, allowing for efficient sorting and recycling.
So instead of creating products that are destined for the landfill, we're designing them with their afterlife in mind, considering how they could be reused or repurposed.
Yeah.
It's a fundamental shift in thinking. But design is only one piece of the puzzle, right?
Right.
What about the manufacturing process itself? How can we make injection molding more sustainable from a production standpoint?
Minimizing waste during production is crucial. This involves optimizing the process to reduce scrap material, implementing efficient recycling systems within the factory, and even exploring innovative techniques like in-mold labeling, where labels are integrated directly into the molding process.
Okay.
Eliminating the need for separate adhesive labels that can hinder recycling.
So it's about streamlining the entire production chain, from material selection to process optimization to minimize the environmental footprint. But even with the most sustainable design and manufacturing processes, there's still the issue of end-of-life management. What happens to those plastic products once they've reached the end of their useful life?
That's where effective collection and sorting systems are crucial. Consumers need to have access to convenient and reliable recycling options.
Right.
And there needs to be infrastructure in place to sort and process the collected plastic waste.
It sounds like creating a truly circular economy for plastics requires a collaborative effort across multiple stakeholders, from designers and manufacturers to consumers and recycling facilities. It's a systemic challenge that demands innovation and cooperation at every level. But what about the role of policy and regulation? Can governments play a role in accelerating this transition toward a circular economy?
Absolutely. Governments can implement policies that incentivize sustainable design and manufacturing practices, support the development of recycling infrastructure, and even create regulations that restrict the use of certain types of plastics or require a minimum percentage of recycled content in products.
It sounds like we need a multi-pronged approach, combining technological innovation, responsible design, consumer awareness, and supportive policies to truly move the needle on plastic sustainability. But what does this future look like? Can you paint a picture of what a successful circular economy for plastics might look like in the context of injection molding?
Imagine a world where plastic products are designed for durability and longevity, where they can be easily repaired or upgraded, extending their lifespan. When a product finally reaches the end of its life, it's disassembled, and its components are either reused, directly recycled into new products, or biodegraded safely in the environment. Injection molding, with its precision and efficiency, becomes a key enabler of this circular system, transforming plastic waste into valuable resources.
It's a vision that's both inspiring and challenging. It requires us to rethink our relationship with plastic, to see it not as a disposable material, but as a valuable resource that can be used and reused responsibly. But as we've explored in this deep dive, the potential is there, the innovations are happening, and the momentum is building towards a more circular future for plastics.
It is.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of plastic injection molding.
Of course.
We encourage you to continue exploring this topic, asking questions, and considering the role you play in creating a more circular and sustainable future. Until next time, keep those minds curious and stay informed.